السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا، صدق الله العلي العظيم. A while ago, someone asked another person, asked him a question that, unfortunately, this question remained unanswered, and I decided to answer it tonight. He asked him, "What benefit did you see from Imam Mahdi during the last 1300 years? What benefit did you see from him?" Unfortunately, this video was taken in the city of, I believe, in the Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina al-Munawwara. And because that particular scholar could not speak Arabic, so he could not answer it. And the one who asked, he thought he scored points against the Shia, because they have no answer. No, they have many answers, but probably that man, his language skills did not help him to answer. So I am going to answer this in 4 points. What benefit did we see, or how we have been seeing from Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam during the last 1300 years? Benefit number one, the existence of an infallible imam, infallible, al-imam al-ma'soom, is to maintain and to keep the balance, the security, the continuity, and the peace in this universe. He is not only for human beings. Prophets, messengers, imams are universal figures. Their presence is important for all kainat, all creatures, including us, human being. But it is not confined only to the human being. Allah says to the Prophet that your existence in the community, not just to teach, not just to lead prayers, not just to answer their questions, but to keep the security, to keep the balance in this universe, to keep the stability, istiqrar. And this is a verse in the Quran: وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. God is not going to punish this community, the people of earth, while you are there. So if you are there, Ya Rasulullah, if you are on this earth, then your benefit, one of your benefits to mankind, is that God is going to avert punishment from them. While they deserve punishment, that God is going to protect them. This is the benefit of the imam. Imam is an immunity against the punishment. He's the successor to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah is going to protect the earth and the inhabitants of the earth from punishments. لَوْلَا الْحُجَّةُ لَسَاخَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِأَهْلِهَا. If it wasn't for the Hujjah. Hujjah, it means the proof of God. He could be Prophet, the Prophet, Hujjatullah, and he could be an Imam, successor to the Prophet, Hujjah again. Both of them are Hujjah. If it wasn't for the presence of the Hujjah, the representative of God on earth, someone that has been ordained by God, selected by God, appointed by God, if it wasn't for their presence, لَسَاخَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِأَهْلِهَا. This earth is going to swallow its inhabitants because of the sins that they commit. Not one or two sins. Imagine we have in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and the New Testament, and the Quran, three books. Hebrew Testament, New Testament, and the Quran. They speak about Sodom and Gomorrah. They committed one sin, God destroyed them. One sin. How many sins people are committing now? How many today, right now, how many people we have that are starving to death? Yesterday, the United Nations, they announced that 6.8 million Yemenis are at the verge of starvation. They are going to starve to death. Many of them are dying right now. Cholera is spreading in Yemen. More than 1 million people, men, women, children, are suffering from this epidemic. How many people are suffering now? How many people are lost? How many people are hungry in this world? How many wars we have? How many injustices we have? How many oppression and zulm and dictatorship we have in this world? It's filled. But the presence of the Hujjah, Hujjatullah, is a security. Allah will remove the punishment from the people of earth. Now, the question is, we don't see the Imam. If we don't see him, what is the benefit of him? An important question. Okay. If we don't see the Imam, what is his benefit to me and to you? Now, how many of you saw the Prophet? How many of you saw the Khulafa, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman? They are of no benefit. How many of you saw God? Who can say, I saw God with my eyes, therefore he's here. Yeah, I believe he's here because I saw him. How many people? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, in every corner. But yet, how many of us saw him physically? None. Do you have to see the person? Can someone say, I do not believe that Irvine or Costa Mesa has a mayor because I have not seen them? You haven't seen them, but millions of people, they've seen them. They spoke to them. They shook hands with them. They know them. They deal with them. If you don't see yourself, does not mean that thing does not exist. With an imam, if we purify ourselves and our qalb and our minds and our souls, we will see the imam. You will see him. Don't worry. You will contact him. You will have a relationship with him. You will feel his presence. You will feel his presence. We the Muslims, the very first foundation of our faith is Tawheed, monotheism. Monotheism, the very first article of monotheism is the existence of God. We believe in the existence of God. This is how we argue with atheists, with others. They say God does not exist. We say God does exist. But where is God? Have we shook hands with God? Did we dine with God? Do you see him even in your wildest dreams? Have you seen God? No one can say, I have seen my God in my dream. But you feel his presence. The presence of God is not physical, it is spiritual. It's in your heart. It's like the person who asked Imam Ali, هل رأيت ربك? Have you ever seen your Lord one day? Imam Ali said, of course. وكيف أعبد ربا لم أره? How can I worship a God that I don't see him? But I did not see him with my physical eyes. I saw him with my heart, with my soul, with my spirit, with my mind. I see him, of course. He's there. This is the presence of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi. If you purify yourself, definitely you will see him. Not seeing the Prophet does not mean a Prophet Muhammad did not exist. It does not mean that if we don't see Prophet Muhammad, he's not important. He is important. Because every time we mention his name, we send salawat for him. And this is the teachings of the Quran. This is not an invention, bid'ah for us. This is in our book. Some people adhere to this, to these teachings. Some people do not adhere. God says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. None of us saw the Prophet, but we see his presence. We see his heritage and his legacy and his effect and his influence and his inspiration. We see it in our daily life. The same with Imam al-Hujjah. Probably you don't meet him personally, but you see his presence. He is important for the stability of this earth, of the globe, of the universe, not just the earth, the universe. He's a universal imam. This is number one. Number two, all schools of thought, Sunnis and Shias, all Muslims, unanimously agree upon this hadith, من مات ولم يعرف إمام زمانه مات ميتة جاهلية. If you die and you do not recognize and you do not know who is your current imam now at this time, إمام زمانه, not an imam 1400 years ago, now, إمام زمانه, your time now, who's your imam? مات ميتة جاهلية. He's going to die as a non-Muslim, non-believer in God. This is the hadith of the Prophet. All Sunni scholars accept this hadith. All of them. There is a consensus. Now, who's the imam now? I'll ask you. Who's the imam? If you go to Saudi Arabia, they tell you King Salman ibn Abdul Aziz. Waliyul Amr, the imam, the khalifa. If you go to Morocco, they have another king, Muhammad al-Sadis. If you go to this country, they tell you this is the imam. If you go to that country, there are many imams now, but are they really those imams? They are leaders, spiritual leaders, moral leaders. Someone who has blood on all over his hand and his arm, killing people every day in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Bahrain. He's an imam. He's a representative representing God on earth. God found no one but this man to make him his representative and his delegate to us to guide us. Someone who knows no guidance. Someone who does not put his forehead on the ground to worship God. He wants to teach me about God, about justice. They are not imams. They are corrupt leaders. They are corrupt leaders leading, as God said about Pharaoh, يَقْدِمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ. And those who are loyal to them, they're going to follow them, but not on to the right path, to the wrong path. This is verse in the Quran. God says Pharaoh appointed himself as an imam for his community. But that imam is going to lead his nation into the hellfire. يَقْدِمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ. So who do we pay allegiance to, bay'ah? To those corrupt leaders? Definitely God would not leave the earth to those corrupt leaders. God appoints himself. He would not leave this issue for us. Definitely there is an imam. And therefore the imam of this time is Al-Imam الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر عجل الله تعالى فرجه. Now, if someone asks then, how about the followers of Ahlul Bayt? How do they contact the Imam when they pay allegiance to him? We contact him sometimes directly. There are many people, you don't have to be a philosopher, a scholar, someone important in your community, an Ayatollah or Hujjatul Islam to meet the Imam. You could be a simple person, simple, moderate person who does not even own a property. Imam will come to you, you will see him, he will guide you, you can have connection with him. This is not a privilege reserved for the wealthy, for the influential. No. Imam can go to the poorest of the poor in the community and he guides them. And he has representatives. If we ask questions, the maraja, the ulama. Maraja are not perfect. I'm not saying maraja are perfect. No. They are not perfect, neither they are ma'soom, immune from errors or mistakes. They are not. But they are the righteous ones among them. They represent the Imam. Those who have piety and righteousness, they represent the Imam. So if you have a question, you can go to them. Because definitely, even if they do not meet the Imam physically, they are musaddadeen, supported by the Imam. They are musaddadeen, supported by the Imam. They are spiritually directed by the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the second benefit. For those who came late, there was a video recently published. Someone, he follows a Sayyid in Masjid al-Nabi and he sarcastically asks him, sarcastically, what is the benefit of Imam al-Mahdi for you for the last 1300 years? The Sayyid, he could hardly understand the question. He's from Iran, he doesn't speak Arabic. You don't have to speak Arabic to be a Muslim. There are many good Arabic speaking people are atheists. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Prophet Muhammad. They don't believe in this book. And there are many non-Arab people who do not understand any word in Arabic. They are good Muslims and good faithfuls and good observance. You don't have to. Yes, it is good if you understand. But God does not say that if you don't, if you are unable to speak Arabic, you are not a good Muslim. Nowhere in the Quran says. Quran said we sent the book in Arabic because those arrogant Arabs in Quraysh, had the book came in a different language, definitely they would have rejected it completely. وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِينَ فَقَرَأَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If the book has been descended in another language and the Prophet recited this book to Quraysh, مَا كَانُوا بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ, they would have rejected the book because of their arrogance and racism. So Allah said, let's begin with this area. Let's attract them to Islam through the language, make it easier for them. So it's not a privilege for the Arabs. It's not a privilege. So what is the third fa'i, the benefit of Imam al-Mahdi? The third one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was asked one day. The Prophet was the first one who foretold us about the return of Imam al-Mahdi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned his successors, and the last one is Imam al-Mahdi. And Sahih al-Bukhari says the Prophet was sitting next to his companions and he said to them, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ فِيكُمُ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. How would you feel when al-Masayih, al-Masih alayhi salam, will descend from heaven while the Imam of the Ummah, of the community, is among you, is one of you? So the Messiah is not going to be the Imam, he's going to be the Ma'moom. Messiah is going to be one of the lieutenants of Imam al-Mahdi, one of his followers. This is the hadith of the Prophet in Sahih al-Bukhari. Therefore, the Prophet, when he was asked, what is the benefit of an imam who's ghaib? People don't see him. Physically, they don't see him. He said the answer. He said, ينتفعون بولايته في غيبته كما ينتفع الناس بالشمس إذا سترها السحاب. The same way that when the sun is obscured, covered by cloud. Today it was covered in the morning. This means that there is no benefit from the sun. The benefit has ended. The sun has millions of benefits. One of them is sunlight. One of them. This is one of them. Is sunlight. And the benefit of the sun is not confined to us, the humans, all the kainat. If there is no sun for 1 second, this earth cannot be stable. The earth is stable by the gravity of the sun. This is one of the benefits. So if the imam is obscured and we don't see him, does not mean he has no benefit. You don't realize the benefit. But if you open your hearts, you will know the benefit. His benefit, as the Prophet says, for all the kainat, all the creatures. Number four, my friends, in the beginning of this book, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى. No doubt, in this book, there is guidance for the righteous. Who are the righteous, God? What are you talking about? Who are the righteous? The righteous are الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Number one. And then after that, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. It means that if you don't believe in the unseen, the ghaib, your salat is worthless. It's worthless. Why? Because what is ghaib, my friends? Ghaib, God is ghaib. Part of ghaib, al-ghaib al-mutlaq, the absolute ghaib and seen is God. You don't see God, but you believe in Him. He fills your heart. He's your first companion. He's your first friend. He's always with you. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are jugular to man than his jugular vein. Closer to man than his jugular vein. Yet, you don't see him. Why? Because he's ghaib. There are angels everywhere. Angels in this masjid, alhamdulillah. They are invisible, unseen. But there are angels. You don't see them. There are prophets before us. We did not see them, but they do exist. This is part of the... This is now, right now, there is Jannah and there is Nar. There is paradise and there is hellfire. Right now, right now. There is Akhirah, a vast and a huge world called Akhirah. We don't see it. Now we don't see it, but soon we will see it. This is part of the ghaib. So if I keep saying, because I don't see, I don't believe, I'll be naive. I'll be very naive. And I'm going to lose the most important foundation of faith. Because 99% of my faith is based on ghaib. It's not based on vision. It is based on inner vision. On intellect. On reason, on aql. How did we discover God? Did we discover Him because we saw Him? No, none of us saw God. We discovered Him through our reason, not our eyes, not this eyes. Through the heart, through the reason. This is the most important foundation. Imam al-Mahdi is part of that ghaib, the unseen. But one day He will reappear. God would not leave King Fulan and King Fulan to lead the earth. Look at what they are doing. Look at the devastation and the corruption. They hijack a prime minister of Lebanon, country which is independent. They have a free elections. They bring him, they summon him, they tell him, come here. Like a baby, 12 years old baby. They bring him to Riyadh. They keep him under house arrest. They write a letter of resignation. You have to go on television and read it. Resign. This is democracy. This is respect for countries, your neighboring countries, Arab countries, Islamic countries. In Bahrain, they send their troops. In Yemen, they send their airplanes to bomb, to kill. God would leave the earth to those corrupt leaders? Definitely not. Definitely not. There will be a day of justice. And that justice is going to be implemented by the 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadhar, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Al-Sharif. Allahumma kulli waliyika Al-Hujjat ibn Al-Hasan, صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته، علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر، وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. روي في الحديث الشريف عن الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام، Our sixth Imam states: ما من أحد يوم القيامة إلا ويتمنى أنه من زوار قبر الحسين عليه السلام، لما يرى مما يصنع بزوار الحسين من كرامتهم على الله تعالى. Every single person on the day of judgment is going to wish to have been among the visitors of Imam Hussein, the grave of Imam Hussein عليه السلام, because of what one sees of the dignity and the honor that they are treated with by God on the day of judgment. This is a wish of every believer in his life before his or her death, that they can reach to the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And just during the last 3 weeks, the official number by the Iraqi government today, Friday, was issued. 14 million people, they flocked. 14 million people from Iraq and 80 countries. They came to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and this is the largest human gathering on earth in one area. The largest human gathering on earth. This is a journey of the ruh. This is, as I mentioned last night, if you don't fall in love with someone, you are not going to do that for him. You are not going to walk, not even 100 meters rather than 80 or 90 kilometers. You would not do that. But because people, they believe in the virtue. Many of those people who walk for days and nights, they reflect. It's a reflection, tafakkur. In the desert, when they walk with millions of others, They reflect on their past, on their present, on their future, on their life, on their families, on what they did, on what they're going to do. It is a renewal, tajdeed of ahd, covenant with Allah and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And these are some of the observations about this ziyarah, ziyarah al-milyoniyah. Those who walk, nobody forced them to go. Nobody. In Hajj, sometimes you have to go, even if you dislike Hajj. I've been to Hajj, believe me. Trust me on this. I've been to Hajj with some people who told me, Sayyid, you know why I'm here? Because Islam says if you don't go to Hajj, you're going to go to Jahannam. So I just want to fulfill this and get it over. Khalas. Get it off my chest. Go to Hajj. They have to go. But no one goes to ziyarah of Imam Hussein because if he doesn't go, he's going to go to hell. No. They go out of love and conviction. They spend money. They walk. Though there are means of transportation, they can ride. They can ride. They can reach Najaf, from Najaf to Karbala within 1 hour. But they prefer to stay 3 days and 3 nights. Out of ishq. Out of love, out of conviction for Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. And those who serve them, each and every Iraqi family becomes a servant, khadim, for the zuwar. When I used to go to Hajj and Umrah, I used to see some people who work for Hajj, they say, khidmatul hujjaj sharafun lana. Serving the hujjaj is a big honor. But only you see it as a sentence on their chest. You don't see it in a practice. I swear by God. Hajj is the most expensive trip. If you want to go to Hajj today, it costs you more than $10,000. 50% of this amount is a bribery to the royal family. 50% of it. While in Iraq, you can go to Ziyarat al-Arba'in without spending a single penny. As soon as you touch down at Najaf Airport, food, drink, shelter, medicine, and fortunately sometimes cigarettes, free. SIM cards, Iraqi SIM cards, free. Massage, free. They shine your shoes. They wash your clothes. They give you new sets of clothing. New sets. You don't have to buy anything. Free. And this does not happen only... It happens only because people love Imam Hussein. They believe in what they do. They believe. They have conviction. They take everything they store throughout the year in their homes. They give it to the Zuwar. They give it to the Zuwar and they insist on them to accept it. They insist. Come, spend the night here. Have dinner here. Drink here. Rest here. Out of love. So both those who walk and those who serve, they do it. لوجه الله لا نريكم إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. The other thing you see in the ziyarah, you see the best examples of generosity and giving and karam. You see the best example of tolerance. People tolerate each other. Outside Arba'in, they don't tolerate each other. They fight. But when it comes to the ziyarah of Arba'in, they don't fight. They have tolerance. They have ithar, sacrifice. You see the best models of sacrifice during ziyaratul Arba'in. You see patience. You see qana'ah, content. You see that some people are exhausted of walking, exhausted. Their feet are swollen. But yet, they say it's a sweet. It's a sweet journey, sweet experience. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying. And most importantly, you see real equality. Real equality between the zuwar. The rich is walking next to a poor person. Someone who is a professional, he's a well-known surgeon, physician, whether in Iraq or outside Iraq, is walking with someone who did not go to school. They walk together. There is no distinction. I've been to Hajj myself. And I've seen some hujjaj, the rich ones, even in Mina al-Arafat, they have a special tents for them, royal treatment. all sorts of food, fruits, ice creams, you know, all sorts of beds for only half a day. Why? Because they do not want to mingle with others. They defeat the purpose. They go to Hajj, but they don't benefit spiritually from Hajj. They keep the arrogance that they have even in Mina and Arafat. In Karbala, you don't see this. There is no royal treatment. All the Zuwar are the guests of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You see real equality between the Zuwar. You see Muslims, Shias, Sunnis, and you see non-Muslims. And I said last night here, an ex-congresswoman from the state of Georgia was among the Zuwar who walked all the way from Najaf to Karbala. And she's not a Muslim. She's African-American. She said, even when I was a congresswoman, I had this desire in my heart to walk this journey to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because he represents true humanity, true justice, true peace. He represents the defense, defending the oppressed. And we are oppressed. We accept this as our imam and our leader. Though I am not a Muslim, but I believe in the integrity and the leadership of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And friends, you know, Iraq, one third of Iraq was occupied by ISIS, the most dangerous gangsters on earth, ISIS. Subhanallah. Even now, there are some ISIS elements at large in Iraq. But no single incident, no single bad incident happened. Though even the government is not organizing this ziyarah. People themselves. You know how many agencies, if America wants to receive 14 million people within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, how many agencies they have to deploy to organize this trip? In Iraq, there is no single agency. Only the agency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The divine protection. Not even a single stampede. Those of you who have been to Hajj, you see how many stampedes takes place at Jamarat every single year. And there are many casualties. And the Hajj is only 3 million. This year was only 2 million. In Karbala, there are 14 million. They come and they go and they leave. No single incident. This tells you that there is a divine protection, inaya ilahiyya, divine care for the Zuwar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why this ziyarah is important? Because it's a symbol of resisting dictatorship and tyranny. And we have to keep it. We have to keep this. We have to continue this. As long as we have this ziyarah, dictators are fearful of the mu'mineen. They cannot invade their land as long as they uphold to the principles of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And also it is a covenant renewal. Every year we have to do this to say to Imam Hussein that we are not going to live as oppressed. We reject tyranny and we reject oppression and we reject injustice in our families, in our communities, in our countries. Let me conclude with the hadith of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Man zara al-Husayn alayhi salam. Whoever go, travels for the ziyarah of Imam Hussein. Arifan bihaqqihi muqirran bifadlih. Recognizing, realizing his worthiness, arifan bihaqqih. Muqirran, recognizing his virtue, muqirran bifadlihi. كتب الله له بكل خطوة يخطوها حجة وعمرة متقبلة. With every step a person takes to go to the ziyarah of the shrine of Imam Hussein, Allah will reward him with one single umrah and one single hajj that are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah will put our list, our name in the list, inshallah, of the Zuwar of Imam Hussein. Even if you can't make it for some reasons, I know many people are ushaq, they love to go, but they can't. Go outside under the sky and face the Qibla and say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifinaik wa anakhat birahlik. Alaykum minni jami'an. سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Tonight we're going to have the second English majlis inshallah at 7 p.m. for the Arba'een, and tomorrow the Arabic session at 7 p.m. tomorrow Saturday, and next Thursday and Friday we're going to have the commemoration of Wafatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at 7 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and Saturday Wafatun Nabi at 7 p.m. in Farsi inshallah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم فرج عن إخوتنا في اليمن وفي البحرين وفي المنطقة الشرقية وفي سوريا وفي لبنان وفي العراق وفي فلسطين وفي كل مكان وفي إيران وأفغانستان يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وحد قلوبنا على الإيمان والتقوى. اللهم اشف مرضانا وداوي جرحانا وفك أسرانا واغفر ذنوبنا وتقبل أعمالنا وعجل في فرج إمامنا وسيدنا وقائدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.